Hi, my name's Rebecca, and my son Enzo is a student here at Maryland School for the Blind. He's in eighth grade, and he's in the multiple disabilities program. So when my son was born, he suffered from a lack of oxygen and was diagnosed with what's called hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy. And so what this meant for him was that the first few weeks of his life were very scary for the whole family because it was spent trying to get the seizures under control. And trying to get the seizures under control enough so that the doctors could take an MRI and see just how extensive the brain injury was. So when Enzo was about 21 days old, we got taken into that dreaded little room, and the doctors told us that unfortunately the brain injury was very extensive, and that Enzo would grow up to most definitely have quadriplegic cerebral palsy, and which means that he would never walk or talk. So probably spent maybe days, weeks convincing myself that they had the wrong baby, the MRI was wrong, certainly this couldn't be true. And in those early days, for me, it was like hope was linked to outcome. Like, as long as the doctors were wrong, then it would be okay. But I did also have this memory of when I was 16, I went with my parents, we went out west to go to like a bunch of the national parks. And it's funny because I don't really remember so much about the parks, but I do remember we visited my mom's cousin, and he was a woodworker, and they lived in this really adorable, quaint cabin in Colorado, and they had 9 kids, and one of their daughters had quadriplegic cerebral palsy. And like I said, I don't really remember much about the trip, but I remember being in that house and the details of the adorable cabin, and I remember that they pureed the dinner that we were eating, and they fed it to her, and I remember after the dinner, her dad scooped her up, and they just had this really sweet, warm moment, and I just remember how peaceful that room was and being with that family. So I sort of clung to that memory early on thinking, okay, well, maybe if the doctors are right, maybe one day we could find that same sort of peace. So Enzo started to grow up, and it became clear that yes, the doctors seemed like they were right, because of course he's not hitting his developmental milestones. But what I also started noticing is that we had like the most incredible people coming into our life. Like, we had like 7 pediatric, you know, specialists. We had speech therapists, occupational therapists, aqua therapists. We have nurses, nannies. I mean, just this, all of a sudden our life like exploded with all these amazing people. And I remember thinking at one point, I feel like I've gotten some key to some secret level of life where all the amazing people are. Like, this is incredible. And I had never been exposed to this world before. I was a liberal arts degree in college, and then I joined the Peace Corps, and then I worked for an international public health, women's public health organization, and I was working on my master's of public health at the time, but I scratched that to get a PhD in parenting instead. But at the same time, it almost kind of felt like I was in the Peace Corps again, because I'm sitting here, and it felt like I was in a foreign land. I'm all alone, and I most definitely did not speak the language. And I really relied on all those people. I mean, they were helping Enzo, but they were really helping me as well. And so I started to realize that my role as a mom was really to build and maintain this network. That was my job, sort of help to build this infrastructure around him. So I was sort of the head of recruitment, but Enzo is the head of retention. And I don't know, many of you may already know Enzo, but he has this incredible magnetic personality and this huge smile. And he is a lovely, lovely boy. And he's a flirt. And he has actually gotten himself a reputation over at the pediatric unit of Sinai Hospital for how much he flirts with the nurses. And the past 2 times he even went to the hospital, he like made this miraculous turnaround as soon as he was admitted. And even the nurses, they were all joking. They were like, I think he just came to visit us again. It had been a while. So, you know, I still, though, you know, I... when those early days, it was like grieving the child that I thought I was going to have, but it was really grieving the life that I thought he would have. And I just was so, it just felt so unfair. Like he just got totally cheated right out of the gate. And I just couldn't come to terms with it. And I had this moment a couple summers ago where I was sitting outside with him, and it was a rare moment because it was a quiet moment because his two rambunctious little brothers were out of town, and it was just him and I, and it was this beautiful summer day, and we're sitting outside and for hours, just quiet and enjoying the birds. And Enzo's favorite thing to do is sit outside in the morning and just listen to the birds, and sometimes he'll nap. And I had this moment where I looked at him, and he looked at me, and we locked eyes. And it was like, and we held the gaze for a while. And it was like he was saying, see, this is where it's at, right here. It's like I had entered into his world. And it was then that I realized, I was like, this is his life all the time. He's living in the present moment, and he's enjoying the present moment, probably more than any of us do. And so I think that, so Enzo's about to turn 14. In just a couple weeks. And sometimes I would think, okay, what would I say to that young, devastated first-time mother if I could go back and I could tell her something? And I would tell her that, yeah, it's true that Enzo, maybe his disability will sort of rob him of his ability to walk or talk, but it's not going to rob him of his ability to make connections with others, and it's not going to rob him of the ability to live in the present and really enjoy this life. And then isn't that what we're all striving to do with our mindfulness meditation and our exercise and our creative endeavors and our cold plunges and all these things that we do to try to stay in the moment? He's living that. So he has this incredible quality of life. And the other thing I would tell her is that as I would reassure her that somehow the perfect people would always arrive at the perfect time to help with whatever hardship she was going to face, and that this would happen unfailingly. And thirdly, I would say that, yeah, this is not an easy road, and there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of grief, but through all that pain and through all that grief, there's incredible intensity of joy and beauty, and that ultimately all of this would get transformed into a really beautiful love story. Thank you.